Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We're thankful for everybody who's come out, as we should do. The message this morning is going to be kind of a continuation of last Sunday night's message. And for those of you who weren't here, the message Sunday night was, why does Jimmy crack corn if no one cares? I agree. But it is a very serious matter that I want to speak of this morning. The Bible tells us, I think it's the 32nd chapter, somewhere around the 23rd verse, be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure. Amen. You can be positive of that. That your sin will find you out. Now this morning, I don't want to talk so much about there's not a person here, I'm sure, that doesn't already know that the final penalty for sin is hell. All right? I'm not going to beat around the bush this morning about it. The final penalty for sin is hell. But that's not what I want to focus on so much this morning, because we already know that. But what we seem to overlook a lot of times is the penalties and the ramifications of sin while we're still alive. Right? Because there is penalty for sin. Right? It's not like we can sin all we want to all through our lives, and then finally when we die, we're penalized for it. We are penalized for it as we're sinning. As we live that life. If for no other reason, just because of the shame and the guilt that it brings, is penalty enough, right? This is going to be a slow message this morning, I can tell already. But that's all right. Because if y'all can sing 30 songs, I can preach an hour or two. Praise God. No, I'm just kidding. I'm glad that y'all are following the Lord. And doing what the Lord would have you to do. And sing, 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 sing. It doesn't bother me. I love to hear y'all sing. I don't love to hear myself sing. But I love to hear you all sing. Turn with us, if you would, to Genesis 4, verses 8 through 2, or 8 through 10. So, I've got a lot of different things to cover this morning. And I want you to understand something. It doesn't matter how your sin is committed, or how well you think that it's covered up, sin is still sin. All right? There's no way to get around it. There's no way to hide it. There's no way to confuse it. And it doesn't matter if somebody talked you into it or if you did it by mistake, sin is still sin. And if you got sin in your life, there's only one way to get it out of your life. And that's through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. So I want to get that open and cleared up this morning. I also want you to realize and understand this morning that at any time you feel the urge to pray, the altar's open. You don't have to wait for me to get done. Pray. That's what we're here for. So in Genesis 4, verses 8 through 10, it said, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. You may be seated. So the first sin I want to talk about is the sin, a sin done in secret. We know here that Cain thought he had accomplished something. He thought he knew that he had committed a sin. He knew that he had sinned against God. He knew that he shouldn't have killed his brother. But he did it, and he tried to cover it up. And you can't do anything in secret. You can hide it from me, you can hide it from the deacons, you can hide it from your mom and dad, you can hide it from everybody around you, but you can't hide it from God. He'll see it. And he saw this, he knew what had transpired, and he went to Cain and he said, what have you done? Your brother's blood cried from the ground. Why have you done this? And we know that Cain was penalized. He was ostracized, if you would. He was put into the land of Nod. booted out. Right? He suffered for what he'd done. There's a penalty for sin. Doesn't matter how it's done, church, or why it's done. We can come up with every excuse in the world of why we do the things that we do. But ain't none of them good enough in God's eyes. The fact of the matter was that He sent His only begotten Son to die for our sins so that we wouldn't be caught up in sin. Yet we continually find ways to sin. We continually find ways to try to cover it up. And we continually find ways to try to blame it on somebody else. Right? So we need to get out of that state. And we can only do that with the help of God. If you were to turn to, I'm not going to read here, but if you wanted to turn to Genesis 42, verses 21 and through 22, it talks about Joseph's brothers and how sometimes takes years before sin is exposed. It might not come out today. It might not come out tomorrow. You might hide it for weeks, maybe even months or years, but eventually it's going to come out. Eventually, it's going to come back to haunt you. Eventually, people are going to find out about it. And don't be confused this morning as to what I'm saying. God knows about it when it happens. You don't hide it from Him, but you can hide it from other people. And it may take years before that thing's exposed. You may think, man, we got away with it. We did it. Nobody knows about it. Be sure, your sin will find you out. Nothing done in secret that won't be brought out into the light. Right? Am I preaching a lie this morning? We've got to do everything humanly possible to keep sin out of our life. Are you going to make mistakes? You sure are. Are you going to fail from time to time? You sure are. That's just part of it. But that doesn't mean you need to harbor that thing and keep that thing and try to hide that thing. When you realize you've sinned, make an advocate with the Father. Don't put that thing off. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to conceal it. Just get it taken care of. Turn with us, if you would, to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews 12, verses 16 through 17. It says, lest there be any fornicator or profane persons as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Sometimes sin is done under the impulse of the moment. The majority of time, church, sin is done under the impulse of the moment. Esau did not plan to be hungry that day. He didn't plan to give up his birthright that day. It wasn't something that he woke up that morning and thought, man, this would be a good thing for me to do today. I think I'll just give up my birthright. No, it was an impulsive thing. It's something that just kind of happened. But it doesn't matter. It's still sin. Am I getting my point across this morning? It doesn't matter if he was starving to death, if we want to put it that way. I get a lot of rebuke over that at home. I say, I'm starving. You're not starving. You're just hungry. All right? Well, you ain't in this body. When that stomach's going to town, amen, and it wants something in it, it's telling my brain, you're starving. It ain't just telling it you're hungry. It's telling it you're starving. All right? I know when I'm ready to eat. All right? You can't tell me when I ain't ready to eat. All right. Yeah, in my opinion, I'm starving. You say tomato, I say tomato. But anyway, let's get back to the message. But just because of an impulse, church, especially you young people, listen up. There's a lot of sin that can be committed under an impulse. Just because of the moment, just because of what's going on around you, just because you want to fit in, just because you want to be a part. Don't fall into that trap. Keep yourself from sin. Avoid sin. Avoid the very appearance of sin. If it looks like sin, smells like sin, tastes like sin, you've gone too far. Get away from it. Don't be around sin. It don't matter how good of a friend you think this person is. If they're sinning, get away from them. Don't get caught up in the trap. Don't put yourself in situations you shouldn't be in. Don't put yourself in places you shouldn't be at. All right? Be sure your sin will find you out. Doesn't matter if it's done in the impulse of the moment and you wasn't expecting to do it and you didn't mean to do it or it wasn't planned to happen this way. Sin is sin. And if you've committed sin, you need to get it under the blood. There's no other way around it, church. Achan committed a sin in Joshua 7 and 21. The Bible says that he took spoils of the land that he shouldn't have took. It was a sin in God's eyes, a reproach. He thought he had it well hid. He thought he had it, you know, he dug a place under his tent. He hid it very well. Nobody could find it. None of the people knew it was there. Nobody knew it was there. Everything's fine. Everything's lovely. But everything wasn't fine. Everything wasn't fine because God knew. God knew that he sinned and he knew where he hid it. See, it doesn't matter how well you think you got it covered up because we all, everybody throughout the ages of time who's committed sin in their life thought that they could cover it up, thought that they could hide it well. David thought that when he got rid of his future wife's husband that everything was fine. That he had his sin hid. He tried hard to cover it up without killing the man. He couldn't find the way, so he found the way. He found a way to cover it up towards man's eyes. But God still knew. Church, we can't hide things from God. He's all-knowing. He's all-seeing. There's nothing invisible to Him. He knows it all. He knows when you do well, and He knows when you do not so well. Right? He won't be fooled. I can be fooled. I'm not a very intelligent man. You can pull the wool over my eyes. You can fool me from time to time. You can trick me. You can joke me if you want to. You can get by it with me. But you can't get by it with God. He sees it. He knows it. And He will reward you diligently. All right. May be done reluctantly, as in Judges 16, verses 16 through 17, with Samson. Samson tried to beat around the bush. But see, Samson was in a bad place and at a bad time. He was doing something I just got done warning you not to do. He was flirting with sin. He was playing games with it. Come on, we know the story. He's playing around with it. He was dabbling around with it. Thought that he had control of it. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been in church. You dally around with sin long enough, and you won't have control of it. It'll have control of you. And that's what happened to Samson. He played around with it. He was a strong man, a mighty man. But he played around with it one too many times, church. And it caught up with him. It caught up with him. And it cost him. It cost him dearly, church. It cost him his reputation. It cost him his sight. And in the end, it cost him his life. All right? Be careful, church. Your reputation is of great importance. Not just because of you, but because of who we represent. Who we're living for. Right? There's a lot at stake. Right? There's a whole lot at stake for our lives. When we mess up in the presence of others. Because we choose to flirt around with sin. We choose to play with it. We choose, you know, it's kind of like a kid that gets close to a fire. And I don't care how many times you tell it, stay away from the fire. It's hot over there. They've got to get close enough to find out for themselves, don't they? And sure as the world, as hard as I'm trying to preach it and as hot as I'm trying to preach it this morning, some of you will still try to get as close as you can to it. Just to see for yourself. I've got to find out for myself if it's really that hot. Shame on us. Shame on us. God takes the effort to send us message after message, warning after warning, to try to deter us from sin. And we just don't pay no attention. We just let it go in one ear and out the other ear. Or we'll apply it to our hearts and let it stay there until we walk out the door. Shame on us. I know it's hard preaching this morning. It's rough. But it's helpful preaching this morning. It's needful preaching this morning. Right? I'd much rather preach you the truth this morning than to have you look me in the eye on judgment day and say, why didn't you tell me? In 1 Kings 21, 7 through 20, Ahab was prompted by others to sin. Sometimes we'll gather people together and ask them, what do you think? What do you think I ought to do about this? We'll get a council together, right? Most of the time we're in that place, church. Listen to me very carefully. If we have to seek someone else's approval, we already know that we're wrong. We already know it. We already know what we've done wrong. And can I tell you, you won't stop there. You won't just accept that one person if they tell you, well, yeah, by the Bible standards, what you did is wrong. We'll go and we'll find somebody else and we'll ask them. Well, Jimmy, what do you think? Now, I talked to Terry about this and he says it's wrong. What do you think? Well, yeah, by the Bible standards, I agree with Terry, it's wrong. Well, I just can't accept that. Now, Denzel, what do you think? And we'll keep on until we find somebody to agree with us. And he'll console us. And he'll tell us, yeah, that's all right. You know, they're just Jesus freaks, man. They're too far into this thing. They're missing it. You know, they're just old fogies. No offense, gentlemen. But you know, you got to get with the end times. Well, I don't know about the end times. I ain't too worried about. But the end time is what I'm concerned with. All right? And I may not fit in with such and such cliques. And I might not be the coolest cat in town. But I'll guarantee you one thing. I'm working towards a higher prize. All right? I'm working towards getting in. And I don't mean in anything down here. You know, these fashion clubs or social clubs or anything else. I'm working towards getting in heaven. I want to make heaven my home. And I believe that all of you do too. I believe you're working towards that. I believe that we're striving towards that. But I also believe we got to be careful. Because the enemy is cunning. Praise God. We know that. Praise God that we understand that. Because where people get in trouble is when they fool themselves and convince themselves that they're more knowledgeable than the enemy. We have to constantly be on alert. Are you listening to me this morning, church? We have to constantly be on alert. I'm going to tell you something this morning. He doesn't have power over God. Understand me this morning. But He is cunning. And He is crafty. And if we let our guard down and think that we're above sin or we're unapproachable, we'll get ourselves in trouble. But just because we seek other people's approval doesn't make it all right. Sin is still sin in the eyes of God. Continuing on. In Matthew 14, verses 6 through 10, Herod found himself in sin over a promise. Be careful about your promises, church. Right? Be careful about telling people, I'll do anything you ask me to. Be careful about saying to people, anything that you want, I'll give you. That's how Herod messed up. He told that girl, I'll give you anything you want. Just dance for me. Right? Whatever your heart's desire. You young men, be careful about them girls that come along and bat them big long eyelashes at you. Tell you how special you are. And you young women, be careful about them guys that pull up in them hot rods and tell you how gorgeous you are. Right? They'll promise you the world, church, and take you straight to hell. Right? I've seen it a million times, church. I've seen it a million times. I have shamefully been a part of it more times than I'd like to admit this morning. But I can proudly say that all that's under the blood. Praise God. Don't have to live that lifestyle anymore. Don't have to make fruitless promises. Don't have to accept fruitless promises. But He made a promise to somebody. And He went through with the promise. And it was sin. He had a man murdered. Right? Turn with me, if you would, to Mark 14. Verses 10 through 11. Says, and Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. And I'm talking about betraying Christ. That's what Judas was trying to think of, how to accomplish it. He had sought the approval of the authorities to do this. He had sought the approval of man. Right? He didn't just make up his mind on his own. He sought somebody's the approval of some authority figures. Just because the authorities say it's okay, don't mean it's okay. Just because our nation says this ain't sin anymore, or this is not illegal anymore, doesn't mean it's still sin. It's still sin in the eyes of God. If it says it in that book, It's sin. It's forever settled. That don't change, church. Our laws change. They change like the seasons. Sometimes they change like the hand on a clock. But this word is forever settled. It doesn't change. It doesn't change to suit the things that are fashionable nowadays. It doesn't suit the things that are popular nowadays. It doesn't change to suit the flavor of the month. It's forever settled. And if it was sin 2,000 years ago, guess what? It's still sin today. It don't matter what the authorities say. It doesn't matter what man says. It don't matter what mommy and daddy said. If it's sin in this word, it's sin. And that's what the guide we need to go by. Not anything else, not anybody else. The Word of God. In Mark 15 and 15, sometimes we commit sin to appease the public or those around us, as Pilate did. Pilate didn't want to condemn Christ. Right? Man, he tried to find all kinds of ways of getting out of doing it. But in the end, he did it to appease the people. It's what they wanted. They cried, "Crucify him." And he did it to appease them. He did it so his superiors wouldn't look at him as being weak. And he did it so that the people would shut up and quit complaining. All right? Sometimes we sin to appease people. We sin because of the influence that is around us. We sin because somebody said, "You need to go ahead and do this. You're just never going to be accepted in the crowd if you don't do this, if you don't participate in this, if you don't go along with this." Church, listen to me this morning. Get away from those type of people. Put yourself in the presence of people who will encourage you in Christ Jesus. Put yourself in the presence of people that are going to help you to grow in the Word of God. Don't put yourself around people that are going to constantly pull you down or drag you down or encourage you to commit sin. Find some new friends. You're looking at me this morning, you're saying, "Well, that's easier said than done." No, I've gone through it. I know how hard it is. But I can tell you that the reward outweighs what you'll give up. In Luke 23 and 34, this is my last verse of Scripture. Sometimes sin is done in ignorance. Let me go ahead and turn there. Luke 23:34. We're almost done, church. Says, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them. They're just ignorant. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand. They don't realize." Sometimes we commit sin out of ignorance. Right? I know it's a harsh word. Nobody likes to be called ignorant, but a lot of times when I've committed sin in my life, Brother Jimmy, it was out of ignorance. Because I didn't know no better. Because I didn't understand the ramifications. But hopefully, by the authority of God this morning, by the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, I have expressed to you this morning, and you're no longer ignorant in that fact. hopefully this morning you got something out of the message that will help you to understand and to realize when you're about to get in sin, or if you have gotten in sin, a way to get out of sin. Because this morning there's two very important things that you need to understand. You need to know how to keep yourself from sinning, to avoid sin, and you need to know how to get out of sin if you get caught up in it, right? And hopefully this morning you've got those things. You've got the tools to achieve one of those two things, right? Or both of those things if you need it. Hopefully you don't have any sin in your life this morning. Hopefully this morning God has just sent this message just to reassure you and to help you to understand to keep yourself out of sin in the future. But if you do have sin in your life this morning, again, don't fail to get it covered up by the blood this morning. You have the opportunity. You have the avenue. You have the everything that you need is right here this morning. If you've got sin in your life, there's no reason for you to leave here with that sin. There's absolutely no reason for you to. The presence of the Lord is here. An altar is here. All you got to do is bring it to Him. Leave it at His feet. Ask Him to cover you with His precious blood. Let's all rise. This is your time, your opportunity to come and get your sins covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't know any other way to put it this morning, church. Won't you come? If you've got sin in your life, won't you come?